Welcome to CLCC Online. We pray that this message draws you towards Jesus and strengthens your walk with Him. We believe that we were meant to do life in community. If you live in the Fraser Valley area, we would love to get you connected into the family. Find everything you need at clcc.ca. Enjoy.
Hey everyone, glad to be with you again today. We're continuing the series, What Are They Really Saying? This is a series, as you know, exploring common half-truths. Statements that sound right, they might even sound good or noble, but they actually include a measure of truth, but they're not fully truthful. And in fact, they often obscure a deeper principle. And so the one we want to look at today, one that maybe others have said to you or that you think about yourself, is that God just wants you to be happy. Now, of course, happiness is big in our culture. Some years ago, an author by the name of Gretchen Rubin wrote a book called The Happiness Project, a memoir of her years spent pursuing happiness and trying to figure out how to become more happy. A business book has been written called The Happiness Advantage. Jenny Lawson wrote another book called Furiously Happy, which was an attempt to pursue or find happiness while dealing with or walking through the challenges of mental illness. And then, of course, there is the song that all of us know, Happy by Pharrell Williams. So it's really a big part of our culture. And of course, everyone wants to be happy, but not everyone is happy. So why is that? Well, for most of us, our happiness is derived from people, from things, from circumstances, and that's normal. That's to be expected. But unfortunately, that just doesn't last. Let me give you an example. I drive a Jeep, and one of the things I love to do is in the summer, not just take the top, but take the back off of the Jeep as well. And there is nothing better than riding down the highway with the top off the Jeep and the music playing. And so that's exactly what I was doing one Friday afternoon at the end of work, just enjoying a beautiful day, driving home. And I was happy that I got to drive my Jeep, happy that the sun was shining, until my phone rang. And so I answered the phone, hands-free, of course, and the tone and the content of the conversation changed my attitude from one of just being happy that it was the end of the week and on the way to the weekend, experiencing, you know, what I just described, to really, you know, not feeling very happy about the circumstance at all. That's just so easy. And that's happened to so many of us so many times. And so a little bit of bad news before we get into the good news. People will let you down. Things will wear out. Your situation will change. And if your happiness is built just on those things, that happiness will also just come and go. And for some believers, this is even more troublesome because they've been told that God just wants you to be happy. Well, here's the problem with that. If you're not happy, then there's either something wrong with you, there's something wrong with your faith, there's something wrong with God, or there's something wrong with all of it. And that's just not the way that we want to live. And that's certainly not the way that God has called us to live. So it does beg the question, though, why wouldn't God just want us to be happy? Why wouldn't that be his chief end in life, our happiness, that we would just simply live a life that's full of that? Well, the best way to answer this, as far as I'm concerned, is to think of a metaphor of God as your father. Scripture talks about that. It's a metaphor that most of us want to understand or do understand. And as a father myself, I would ask the question, well, do I want my kids to be happy? Well, fundamentally, the answer is yes. I want my kids to be happy. But practically speaking, the answer is no. And my kids who are watching this are probably not too happy to hear that. However, let me play it out this way. If it was up to my kids and probably your kids as well, if their happiness, or if my goal was that they would be entirely happy all the time, they would want to be free of responsibility. No chores, nice clothes, unlimited free time, opportunities to pursue anything that interested them at any time they wanted to, travel anywhere, do anything, drive the car they want, date the person they want, eat all the food they want, and on and on and on it goes. Well, you know where this is going. What kind of child, or more importantly, what kind of adult does that create? Well, you know the answer to this. It creates somebody who's spoiled, who's lacking in purpose, direction, and probably resilience. That child who has only pursued happiness, or at least been given the opportunity to do so, is probably selfish and self-absorbed. They might be restless and greedy and irresponsible. And so that's what that kind of approach takes. And so the question is also, what kind of follower of Jesus would that create if God's chief end in life was just for our happiness? Now, to be fair, part of the problem is what we mean by the word happy. If it means being free of anything that might challenge us or stress us or cause us to reflect or grow, it's entirely unhelpful. And yet that seems to be the unrealistic ideal that our culture encourages us to pursue, is a life that is free of any kind of encumbrance or difficulty or challenge or stress. So I would say to us today that God actually wants more for us than our happiness. But if that's true, what exactly does God want for us? Well, I want to share three thoughts with you today. The first is this, that God wants us to embrace life and to embrace all of it. Ecclesiastes 3, which you may be familiar with when I read it, really expresses this. And this is what Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 8. There is an occasion for everything, and a time for every activity under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing, a time to search and a time to count as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to bear and to tear and a time to sow, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. You see, the relentless pursuit of happiness effectively insulates us from experiencing the fullness of life. Solomon, and God through Solomon, is telling us that there is a time for everything, and really we need to embrace each one of those seasons and those times. And so always reaching for happiness is like taking a drug that makes life blandly tolerable. But instead, really, God wants us to laugh and to mourn, to wonder, to wrestle through adversity, to remain faithful during the mundane seasons of life, to enjoy the simple pleasures, the hug of a child, a warm summer day, the kiss of a loved one, the satisfaction of a good meal. God wants us to exult in the mountaintops, but he also wants us to keep walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And so really what God wants for us is to embrace life and to embrace the fullness of life, everything that life brings to us. Here's the second thought, and that God wants us to position ourselves for blessing. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, Jesus teaches us this in the Beatitudes that you'll find in Matthew chapter 5 and following. And you probably know those Beatitudes, but each of those Beatitudes starts with a statement or a word. He says, blessed is, and then fill in the blank. Well, that word blessed is makarios in Greek, which means fortunate or happy. But scholars would tell us that it's actually more than just happy. To be blessed is to be positioned for divine favor. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me, that I would be, that you would be, that we together would be in a position where we are in a place where God can show his favor to us. In other words, God shows divine favor or blesses those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are humble. He blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He says that those who show mercy and whose hearts are pure are blessed. That when we work for peace, when we suffer persecution, we position ourselves for divine favor. And so listen, while people or things or circumstances do contribute to our happiness. And let's be honest about that. Lasting or enduring and persistent blessing doesn't come from those things, doesn't come from him or her or an event. But ultimately, lasting and enduring persistent blessing comes from a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ. And so, yes, you know, we can enjoy the good things of life. Yes, there's plenty that God has given us that will make us happy. But if we want to position ourselves for divine favor, we need to understand that there is so much more to the life that God has for us. Here's the third thought. And that is that God wants us to be people of character. He's actually more concerned about your character and how he is changing you and refining you and renewing you than he is necessarily about your happiness. Romans 5, Paul puts it this way in Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. He says, "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into his grace, in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God." But hear this, verse 3. "And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. And this hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." As I said, God's divine purpose is not to make us happy. But to be clear, it's also not to make us miserable. God wants us to be more than happy. He wants us to be fully formed. He wants us to be hopeful in the face of adversity. He wants us to be joyful even when circumstances aren't perfect. He wants us to be purposeful and, yes, positioned for divine favor. But much of that only comes when we have weathered some storms, when we have lived through some adversity, when we have gone through a season or a circumstance where we need to exercise our faith by putting our trust in our Heavenly Father. And so, yes, you know, God does want you to be happy, but more so he wants you to be a person of character, one who has been tried and true and tested. Let me end by saying this. And this is a bit of a provocative statement, but I want to make the point. And that is this, is that Jesus did not die on the cross to make you happy. That wasn't his purpose. That wasn't why he went through that suffering. It's not why he went through all that he went through to die on the cross. He didn't die on the cross to make you happy. In fact, Jesus says this about himself in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, "I have come so that you may have life and have it to abundance." Other versions say to have it to the full or to have a rich and satisfying life. The Message says that you would have a real and eternal life. Listen, I hope that you experience moments of happiness. I hope that most of your days are more sunshine than they are clouds. I hope that you can take pleasure in the small things of life. But that's not always the case for many of us. In fact, some of us go through deep and dark days. Others of us struggle through depression. Others of us fight with mental illness. Others of us just live through a season that is hard and that is difficult. And if you think that God is just there to make you happy, then probably you think that there's something wrong with you or something wrong with God. But listen, God, Jesus has come that you might have a full and abundant life, one that is tested, one that is where you are fully formed, and one that really experiences all the fullness of life. And so today, as you've been watching this, I hope that you would recognize that there is more to life than being happy, and that there is more to following Jesus than simply, you know, having a good day. But that instead, Jesus invites us into that abundant life that includes great moments of joy, that includes being blessed by him, that includes being faithful in the midst of difficulty, that includes having his power and his presence in your life as you walk through challenges. And so again, Jesus did not die so that you could be happy. Jesus died so that you could find eternal life in him, so that you could be assured that as you put your faith and your trust in him, that your sins are forgiven, that your life on this earth is walking with him, and that you have the promise of eternal life. And so today, I would just invite you, if you haven't already, to put your faith and your trust in him, that walking with Jesus through the joys and the heartaches, through the good times, the bad times, through the happy moments, and through the moments that we are sad, is so much better than pursuing a life of happiness that's sort of just connected to good circumstances. And so I trust that this has been encouraging to you today. I trust that this has been helpful to you today. And in the end, I just hope and I pray that you will find a full and abundant life in following Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everybody who has watched this today, who's participated in this service online. Lord, I don't know what their circumstances are. Their circumstances may be leading them into places of happiness or leading them into places where they're feeling difficulty, sadness, or heartache, Lord. Whatever it is, I pray that in this moment, you would remind them that you have not left them, that you have not forsaken them. I pray that you would remind them that you are with them in the good days and in the hard days. Lord, that you are doing a work in them where they would be fully formed. They would be fully experiencing all of life and all that it has for them, Lord. And I pray that you would remind them that in all of it, Lord, you would walk with them so that they are blessed, O God. And so, Father, may we find our hope and our strength and our life in you. And I pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you're looking to get connected, we are one church in multiple locations. Our Aldergrove campus meets at Parkside Elementary School Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Our Abbotsford campus has two services each Sunday, 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. We would love to see you at one of our in-person gatherings. If you would like to financially support us, you can always give at clcc.ca/give. See you next time.